entitled Elon Musk. I was going to say Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
Caption there is Tesla, SpaceX, and the quest for a fantastic future by a lady called Ashley Vance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this week we looked at some of the people who built America.
Yeah,
who
some people change industry.
Exactly. Through the Gilded Age.
Yes.
And I think now we're getting into today, the modern age, of the people who've changed their industries as we know them today, technology and whatnot.
Exactly.
So as you know, Elon Musk, the book is entitled Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future by Ashley Vance, written in 2015.
Yeah.
So this book is actually based on 30 hours of conversation between Vance and Elon Musk himself.
Absolutely.
So if you read the first chapter, they talk about how they went to meet at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And initially, he did not want to meet with this woman.
Yes.
He said, I don't want anybody talking about me. He has a very difficult relationship with the media.
Yes.
But eventually, he said, if you're going to do this book, let's do it right.
Yeah.
And so the book highlights his very complicated childhood, but also how he manages to make decisions and manages his own time.
Mm.
And how time and time again, he's a disruptor of industries, all the while with this goal he has of saving humanity.
Mm.
I think you don't always have crazy industry people who want to save the world.
Want to change the world.
Yeah. So Musk was actually born in South Africa. A lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
So maybe we can say he's one of ours.
No, he's not South African. His parents actually migrated in the 1950s from Canada to South Africa.
Okay, but we can say that South African water is what inspired him, right?
It's because he was bullied.
So by 9 years old, he had taught himself how to do computer programming. And by 12 years old, he had developed a computer program that he later sold for $500.
Mm.
So at a young age, we're seeing he has this entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
By 17, he moves to Canada because he wanted to be close to the U.S.
Mm.
And then he goes to the U.S. and he gets two bachelor degrees. Not one, two at the same time.
Yeah.
And then he was later accepted to the University of Stanford, where he quit after 2 days.
Yeah.
He went for two classes and he said, this is not for me.
Mm.
Yes.
And then in that same year, he went and he started his first company, which was called Zip2 in 1995.
Yes.
So Zip2 is similar to what we know as Google Maps today.
Absolutely.
And he sold it to Compaq, the computer company, for $305 million, only 4 years later.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then in 1999, he starts another company called X.com, which was supposed to be an online bank.
Mm.
And it later merged with another company. And then that is what we know today as PayPal. Quite interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But during this period, you see him demonstrating a lot of resilience and determination. They say that he was the most hardworking person in his team.
Yeah.
But this often sometimes came through as stubbornness.
Yes.
And this eventually led to a coup where he was ousted as CEO. So he left the country.
Yes.
I feel like this sounds like an African dictator story.
Yes.
He left the country, then when he came back, he was CEO no more.
Yes.
However, years later, PayPal eventually sold to eBay for $1.6 billion, and this was in 2002.
Yes.
In that exact same year, he founded SpaceX, which is an aerospace manufacturer and space transport provider.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they're providing space transport before we even know where we're going.
Yeah.
And it's currently valued at $34 billion, and he's also the CEO.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he joined the Tesla team, Tesla Inc., which is an electric car company.
Yeah.
And he's currently the CEO and designer, and it is valued currently at $33 billion.
And they say that Tesla is America's favorite car right now.
Yes, it is. Also Norway, I hear that.
Yes.
So his net worth right now is about $23.4 billion. That's of 2019.
Mm.
And according to Forbes, he is the 23rd richest man in America.
Mm.
And of today, the 7th of November, because it changes quite frequently, he is the 43rd richest man in the world.
Mm. Yes.
So this is a man with like a lot of experience, a lot of huge ideas.
Yes.
He's also the co-founder of a company called Neuralink, which looks at brain waves.
Mm.
The founder of the Boring Company, that's what it's called, that does infrastructure and tunnel construction company.
Yes.
So they actually sold this huge firefighting gun for thousands of dollars, and it sold out in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And he's also the co-founder of OpenAI, which looks into ethical AI tech.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So guys, I have made a point that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, I'll go to my pastor and I'll ask him that, because they say that the end of the world is about to come.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And if the end of the world is about to come, then if you go to Mars, whether the end of the world will happen there.
Okay.
And now, why I'm asking that is because of this.
Which living God do, sir?
I see, that's why I'm going to my pastor.
All right.
Just to clarify.
Whether he's the God of Mars as well.
Yes.
I'm so worried.
All right, tell us.
Yeah. See, the reason I'm asking this is because of this. This man, and the reason probably we're colonized is because Mozongos have a colonial mentality, which is okay. But the reason why they succeed is because they see beyond their borders. This guy has seen SpaceX, and SpaceX is this thing, this program he has. I can see you guys cringing.
We're waiting for the punchline.
There's no punchline. But I mean, you spend over $100 million on this space program, and you say by 2024, you'll be taking people to Mars for $500,000 apiece per person. And that trip will take 1 year. So you land in 2025. Now I sit back and I say, these guys are very, very clever. But I sit back and flip the script and say, I don't think they're that clever. What they're actually doing is this. They're creating a situation for their listed companies that people will be so much in awe and shock, and or shock and awe, that they'll be able to make some profit. Now, Elon Musk's main thing in doing his business thing is profit. And allow me to read something he said. He said, I think the profit motive is a good one. If the rules of an industry are properly set up, there is nothing fundamentally wrong with profit. In fact, profit just means that people are paying you more for whatever you are doing that you are spending to create. That is a good thing.
Yeah.
I actually don't think he'll take people to Mars.
Oh, you think it's all a big hoax?
I think it's a big hoax because for profit. He's listed in the New York Stock Exchange, correct?
Yes, he is. Almost all his companies are.
And therefore, if you make ridiculous claims or ridiculous statements, I think that is how you
drive your stock price up.
He sort of reminded me of Virgin.
Richard Branson.
Sort of that exciting, adventurous nature to business.
Yes.
But he has a few lessons I think he can offer us.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Despite, even without the colonizing aspects, Musk once pointed out that if you work 100 hours per week while everyone else is working 40, then you will accomplish everything they can do in a year in a third of the time.
Wow.
And I think even just with all the different projects he's working on, this is a man who's
he's always
on a mission, right?
Yeah.
So he says, pay attention and act on what you see.
Yeah.
So Musk's rise to success wasn't because he was extremely lucky, rich, or even supernaturally smart. It occurred because as a young man, he took time to read the sign of the times.
That's so true.
And he sort of positioned himself early enough for internet, space travel, and what else? And renewable energy.
Absolutely.
So he saw those were the things that were going to change the world. And he said, how do I get ahead of this?
Yes.
So by what he studied, who he met with, where
companies
he lived, all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Then the other lesson we can learn from him is rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
So when his company Zip2 was about to be acquired, he really resisted it.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, then he took those lessons for Zip2 to take to X.com. Which is his next company, and say, how can I improve upon my company? The next thing he does is take risks to bring important changes.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned his foundation called OpenAI. So OpenAI is to do with artificial intelligence. And the idea there is he sees this, him, Stephen Hawking, and other scientists have seen artificial intelligence as the single most existential threat to human survival. That computers will take over what we do, do it better than us, and probably colonize us even more.
Right?
And so he says the way around this is to make this information available to everyone. So OpenAI received a pledge of about $1 billion from Microsoft. And the idea is to fight Google, Facebook, and the biggies in AI.
Right.
And so that if everybody has AI access, then nobody can become an AI superpower. And in that, I think he's being a bit noble.
I guess it's not always about profit.
But only time will tell. And then the other thing he says is do not be afraid to pivot.
Yes.
So he says while it's important to have a plan, it doesn't mean that you can never change from said plan. And we saw that with Tesla when the changes needed to be made. I think at one point they even had to recall some cars because they kept having these glitches.
Absolutely.
And you see it with the cost of space travel.
Yeah.
So he says, okay, it's too expensive to build a rocket ship every time, but we need to figure out how we can still make it happen, right?
Yeah,
so, and he says pivoting is different from changing your plan at every hiccup.
Absolutely.
Being flexible.
Pivoting is also being methodical, it's being calculating, it's changing the plan after being well thought out.
Absolutely.
You don't just change, right?
Yeah.
So I think I learned quite a bit from him, and I think he was quite inspirational.
My biggest lesson from him was it's more important to ask the right questions than have the right answer.
I love that.
He got this from a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was written in, I think, the late 80s. 1990s. Yes. And it's about these people who go off exploring into space. Maybe yes. that's where he got his inspiration from.
Exactly.
And they have this computer that they're trying to ask, yeah. what is the meaning of life?
Yeah.
So they input all these questions, yeah. and then the computer answers back. The answer is 42. So the yes. meaning of life is 42. And people didn't know what to do with the answer 42.
Yeah.
So from that book, he learned it's yeah. more important to ask the right question.
Exactly.
What is the meaning of life is a right question. But yes. 42,
absolutely.
What do you do with it?
Yeah. Exactly. Wow.
Absolutely.
Elon Musk says, find your own success metric. So when Compaq, the company, bought his company, mm-hmm. After just 4 years,
yeah.
for
yeah.
millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
To everyone else that would be success, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not 30 years old.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was 28, I think.
You now have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But for him, that was a failure. That's not what
wow.
he wanted, right?
Yeah.
So I would say,
yeah.
in life, knowing what your success or your failure is
yeah.
really important as you chart your path
yeah.
to greatness.
Absolutely. Set your boundary conditions.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.